Well, can I give you all a very, very warm welcome this morning? Even though it's freezing outside, it's lovely and warm in here, so that's great. And for those of you online, again, a very warm welcome to you as well. Glad that you've been able to join with us this morning. My name is Dalton King. I'm one of the members here. I shall be leading the service, and I will be speaking a little later on, talking a bit about the Bible and what life is about, really, and what God means to us. It's lovely to have lots of different people from literally all over the world. This is where I say, where is James when I need him with his accent? Because James Eardley is good, and I wish I could. We've got folks here, we've got the various regions represented here. We've got Vietnam, India, Indonesia, Kenya, Zimbabwe, China, Leicester, Wigston, Jamaica, and we could go on. And I'm sure I've missed some countries out. So a very, very warm welcome to you all. Nigeria as well. Did I miss Nigeria? I saw you looking right, Nigeria. Kenny was looking up, so I thought I better say Nigeria. But it really is lovely. A warm welcome to you all. It's always good, you know, to read the Bible, God's Word. And we're going to read Psalm 29. And this is a hymn, really, of David. And it talks of the voice of the Lord. In so many times, it repeats the voice of the Lord. And a little later on, we're going to hear the voice of Jesus calling some of his disciples. And that's why our theme is on voice and calling, which we'll hear a little later. But it's lovely just to look at Psalm 29 as an opening psalm. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The voice breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. See how amazing the voice of the Lord, and it does all this. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king for how long? Forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. And we say amen. And you know, that is the God this morning, this great God we're coming to worship this morning. Well, we're going to sing, for those of you that's got the book, we're going to sing from the supplement number 28. If you're following using the book, it will all be up on the screen. And we shall sing this first song, I Will Enter His Gates with Thanksgiving. For the Christian this morning, it's a day of delight, the Lord's Day, when we can come and worship God. And that song reminds us, we come not with people of doom and gloom, but with joy in our hearts, because we're worshiping God on this day. And we often call this day Resurrection Day, the first day of the week that reminds us when Jesus rose from the grave. And it's joyful. So we'll sing number 28, and we'll sing it through once, and we'll go straight into the next one, which will be number 33. Those of you with your books, you may want to just hold it there. Lord, I come before your throne of grace. All right. Thank you, Ruth.
I will save this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice.
It is to that faithful God that we're going to come and pray. Lord God, we thank you for the psalm that we've just read that reminds us of the voice of God, how you can still things, you stop things, you begin things, and how powerful the voice of God is. And we thank you that that same voice, that powerful voice, called some of us many years ago. You called us from darkness into light. And this morning, some of us can rejoice that we're no longer walking in darkness, but we've been saved. We've trusted in the Lord Jesus. And the Lord Jesus is our, not just our friend, but he's our Savior. He's our hope. He is the one whom we put our trust in, so that one day, when we die, we know where we're going. Praise God. We're on our way to heaven. And it's only true, dear Lord, of those of us who came to a point in our lives where we recognize we can no longer live the life we were living in rebellion against God. So we thank you for that day when you brought us out of darkness into light. When, Lord Jesus, you set our feet upon a rock, so that even this morning we can say these familiar words, on Christ, the solid rock, we stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. And Lord, we want to say even afresh this morning, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for all that you did, all the way to Calvary you went for us, so that men and women, boys and girls, people from around the world, whether it be Zimbabwe, China, Kenya, England, Leicester, Wigston, Jamaica, wherever, we can hear the message, the good news that Jesus saves. We thank you for that message. And we thank you that the message is the same today as it was in the time when the Bible was written, just 2,000 years or so ago. We thank you for that same message. And we thank you that this God has not changed. Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, we thank you for that. And Lord, as we come and worship you, we pray that you'll come amongst us. May we know in a special way the Lord Jesus himself drawing near. And Lord, we pray that everything that we say and do may bring glory to your name, which is why we're here, because we want to praise you and to thank you for all that you are and for all that you mean to us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. Well, I re-echo the welcome I gave earlier, because we mean it. It's good to see you all at our church, at Little Hill Church. And obviously a special welcome to any visitors this morning. So anyone, if you've never been here before, great to see you. Please come again. Really mean that. And of course, we welcome the international students. We had a good time on Monday, egg hunting, and it was great. And then we heard the message of Easter from Brandon Nelson. So we had a good time on Monday. Good to see some of the familiar faces of the students back as well today. Now, you should have had a copy of your link if you're a church member. John would have emailed one over. And there are some outside, so if you haven't got a copy of the link, we call it affectionately the link, because it really is excellent. It details all that we need to know each week, and we're really, I'll get into trouble, but we are thankful to Janice for doing it every single week, you know, incredible. But it's so good and helpful. So if I just quickly go through one or two very quick things, I won't go through anything I've missed off. I'm sure Josh will mention this evening, but we'll just go through quickly some of the notices. Well, we've got the service this afternoon, so it'd be lovely as many of you as possible do come along. Our pastor, Josh, will be speaking, and that will be at 5:30 this afternoon. So do come along. If you're able to. And then at 6:30, we've got the communion service. So if you know and love the Lord Jesus, I'm sure Josh will say more about that. By all means, do feel free to join in that. Let's pray for our church officers tomorrow. It's a council meeting. You know, we thank God for them. And I mean that. Deacons and elders, a lot of work goes on in the background. Often we don't know about. and we thank God for them. So there's the council meeting tomorrow. Let's pray that God will be with them, give them wisdom as they detail and look at various things concerning the life of our church. We've got the Bible study on Thursday, again, 7:45. Always good. Always think it's a time, we used to say at Melbourne Hall, an oasis in the desert, in the middle of the week, just good oasis. There's water, there's nourishment. Perhaps in the middle of the week, after a hard week, it's good to get around God's word. So this coming Thursday, again, our pastor will be speaking at 7:45. Next Sunday, our pastor, Joshua Harrison, will be speaking in the morning. And great, in the evening, we've got Joe Eardley will be coming. So let's pray for them as well, and Joe as well, as they prepare during the course of this week. Those of you who are following the Bible reading notes, the reading through John for the month of April, and again, it's on the sheet. Now, there is the love gift envelope, and that's one thing I meant to pick up this morning in my hurry. I didn't, but it's still available. So this is for Ukraine. So anyone who wants to give, if you didn't get an opportunity over the last couple of weeks or so, and you want to give to that needy work, financial gift, just buy the two offertory bowls just at the back. There's these little envelopes, and it's got love gift on it. So if anyone wants to give towards that work there. You would have noticed a change for the church's day on June the 11th, change in speaker. We're not able to have the speaker that had planned, so we're so grateful that Steve Polferman has agreed to speak for us. So that's on June the 11th. Just to mention about part life, can you believe it? The summer will be coming soon. Now, people often ask me and Joshua Rowe and the team, what is it about? What do you do? I know you go on the park. What do you do? What's it like? And because we get asked so many questions, what we thought we'd do actually, and it wasn't my idea, which is why it's such a good idea, because it wasn't mine, but what we thought we'd do some sort of a workshop, very simple, brief workshop about what we do. And we've got something planned for the 26th of April. We'll say a bit more. I think we'll put a little bit in the welcome sheet, a bit about what we're doing. But something very brief, very informal. So if anyone wants to know what we do, no obligation that you're involved necessarily. You may just want to find out what it's about. And it may be you may just want to find out so that you can pray better about the work. Maybe. So we're going to plan this workshop. So anyone who's interested, do see me or Joshua Rowe about it. All right. And then by the time we tell you what it's like, you might probably say, oh, it's not for me anyway. But, you know, at least you can pray. And that's what we want. We're grateful for one or two who have shown interest already. We thank God for that. And some of them said they'll find it really useful to have something like that. So if you're able to, look out for the notice next week. We need to remember Ash. Ash this morning is preaching in Market Overton. So let's remember Ash in all of that. Now then, a couple of other stuff, things I've got here. Now, students, we have got the gospel, the good news in now, in Chinese. Yeah, okay. And at the back there, Joshua Rowe, he's put his signal in where that table is. Can you see where he is pointing? Thank you very much. He's my pointer this morning. So go over to that table and help yourself. So the gospel in Chinese, we've got it Gujarati as well, and many, many other languages. I'm really grateful to Paul Linnell for helping putting all that together. So after the service, students, go over to that table. And if you're not a student or you're a visitor, we've still got free, we've got free literature for you as well over there by my right. Or even if you want to have a look at some of the international languages leaflets that we're giving out as well. I did say not many notices. I feel I've said loads, haven't I? The April edition of Pilgrim Notes is available. All right. Well, we've said lots, and there's lots to say. I'll just hand over now to Trevor for the children's talk. Thank you.
boys and girls, do you want to come out for your story? Right, lads, come a bit further along, this way. Come on, right along, that's better. And if you sit there, lovely. Right, now, our story today. True stories, because our stories come from where? Where do our stories come from? The Bible, right. And it's the last week of Jesus' life on the Sunday. Jesus was going to Jerusalem because there was a big celebration coming up called the Passover. He was walking with his disciples, and just before Jerusalem, a couple of miles before, he stopped. And he said to two of his disciples, now, switch that off. Oh, dear. These people. He said to two of his disciples, I want you two, because you were my disciples, and I want you to go to the next village. Now, when you get there, I have a job for you. I want you to bring back a donkey. Do you think you can do that? You can get your dad to help you, but these disciples, they didn't have their dad with them. But you two can go. Oh, but before you go, if anybody says to you when you're getting this donkey, why are you taking it? You have got to say, the master needs it. All right? What have you got to say? The master needs it. All right? So you'll find a donkey tied up. Go on then. You go and bring it. Well, they went to the next village, and when they got to the next village, they found, what did they find? A donkey. And when they found the donkey, they were starting to untie it, and the owner of the donkey said, what are you doing? And they said, the master needs it. So they brought the donkey. Thank you, a lovely donkey. They brought it to Jesus. Well, when they got the donkey there, now, this donkey had never been ridden before, so there wouldn't have been a saddle on it and reins, all right? But our donkey here, they decided to put something else on because they didn't have a saddle. What do you think they put on the donkey? Shall I give you a clue? Oh, you are brilliant today, aren't you? Do you want to come and put the coat on then? Put the coat on the back of the donkey. That's it. That's it. Lovely. And then they got their coats. The people. And where do you think they put their coats? No, they've got one on the donkey. They started to put them on the ground, yeah, on the floor. And they started to make a path with them. And they got all of these and they spread them out on the floor like this to make a path going all the way to Jerusalem. And then when they'd done that, they reached up. Who would like to ride our donkey? Come on then, you. Oh, you'll have to leave your that on your chair. Come on then, you can go. Can you get up onto here? Come round here and I'll lift you. Well, I'll lift you up. All right, go on then. Oops. Right, you all right? Hold tight. Hold tight. They reached up and they pulled branches from the trees. And these were palm branches. They didn't look like this, but we'll have some palm branches, all right? So, here you are. Oops. There's your palm branches. And your palm branches, and yours. Oh, we're going to run out. And your palm branches. Let me pinch one of yours. Your palm branch. And can I have one of those? Right, now. So they'd made a path and they'd got the palm branches. But they began to shout. Now, there was a special word they shouted out. Shout it! Hosanna, right? Hosanna. But they absolutely shouted it out. Now, we're going to have a bit of help here. And we want no English reserve, right? We're international today. So we're all going to be shouting out Hosanna. We'll shout it out 6 times. And we mean shouting, don't we? They're all going to shout Hosanna. Jesus went along on the donkey, went over the coats, and they were waving their palm branches, right? So when I say go, we're going to shout Hosanna 6 times. Really shout it, right? And I'm going to shout it to you. So it will be bedlam. Ready? After when I say go. Go! Hosanna! 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 Hosanna!
Hosanna!
It was bedlam. The crowds were cheering and shouting, waving their palm branches. But you know what happened? Some people began to complain. They said, "Shut your disciples up, they're making too much noise." And Jesus said, "If they're quiet, the stones will shout out. They're so excited," in other words. Well, Jesus went on into Jerusalem. But you know, the amazing thing is, in the Bible, hundreds of years before, a man had written about this. He'd described what was going to happen. And these were his words. It was a man called Zechariah. He said, "Shout aloud." Were you shouting? Yes. "Shout aloud, O daughters of Jerusalem." So it means sons and daughters, people of Jerusalem. "Your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey." Well, you don't usually see kings riding on a donkey. You know, the queen, if she was going to ride something, she'd ride on a big, powerful horse. But a king coming on a donkey. And this is what it was. They were welcoming Jesus as a... Now, this is the most important bit. They were welcoming Jesus as a king. That was the people then, and the people today need to welcome Jesus as a king. Not a king who sits on a big throne and wears a crown. We need to welcome Jesus as a king of our... King of our hearts. Spot on. We need to welcome Jesus and ask him to be king of our hearts, of our lives. All right? Brilliant. Now we can put all the palm branches down. We're going to sing a song which has got this word Hosanna in it. All right? Now, I don't know whether you children know it, but the grown-ups will know it. "Give me joy in my heart, keep me singing. Give me joy in my heart, I pray." And the chorus says, "Sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna, sing Hosanna to the King of Kings, to Jesus." All right? Right.
Sing Hosanna,
Thank you, Trevor. Very graphic. Excellent. Penny's now going to come up and read the scriptures to us.
The Bible reading is taken from Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 4, verse 18. While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went through all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, epileptics and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis, and from Jerusalem and Judea, and from beyond the Jordan.
Thank you, Penny. Well, just before we sing our next song, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity once again of being able to meet in your house. We thank you, Lord, that we can meet without any fear of the authorities or anyone coming in, and we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, for what we've just read, how the disciples, immediately they heard your word, they were willing to follow Jesus. Well, just before we hear the message, we sing the next hymn. If you're following, it's 141 in the supplement, How Deep the Father's Love for Us.
Yeah.
do you listen to? Now, there are some times, and I've got to do my best this morning because I'm grateful that Rich is on the tech this morning, and I've got to keep still as best as I can. I said I can't guarantee that, but we'll see how we go. But who do we listen to in life? What voices do you listen to? Do you listen to your husband if you're married? Do you listen to your wife? Who do you listen to? Do you listen to your lecturer? Do you listen to your boss? Do you listen to the park keeper? If you park your car somewhere and you suddenly see a yellow visor, do you start running because he's getting near your car? Who do you listen to? Now, let me give you some example. Do you listen to the doctor? We should, shouldn't we? If your doctor says something, and I've got to be careful now, we've got some doctors here, but the doctors, I'll say usually, I won't say they're usually right, we should listen to them because they're right. They're usually right. Are you usually right? Yeah, oh, she's going, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Ruth is, she'll say the doctors are always right or usually right. Of course they're always right. But they would admit that sometimes they make mistakes as well. But whatever they say, we do listen to the doctor. Who else would we listen to? Well, there's someone getting a ticket because they were on the mobile phone whilst driving. And we know that is not allowed. And you're definitely going to listen to the policeman. If you see a blue siren coming and you're driving, do you get nervous? I've had that once or twice, and I've had to stop. Not necessarily because I've been at fault, because they want to overtake me. I have been stopped before, but there we are. It's been all right. Okay, but we listen to the police. What other people do we listen to, I wonder? Oh, who's that? A judge, that's right. Very serious. A judge that's passing sentence. We listen to a judge. Now, why do I say all that? Because it's interesting. Because from our reading, I don't know whether you noticed from our reading, you may just be able to take a seat from there. I'm blind from about here, but I can make it out. But from our reading, we notice these words. And I'll read it out. And this is what we're going to look at. Two verses in the Bible. While walking by the sea, that's Jesus. He saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. So here were two brothers out fishing. But then the verse goes on, doesn't it? It doesn't end. Because the next bit of the verse, it says this. And he said to them, that's Jesus, and I'm going to go slowly, deliberately now. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Now, when it says fishers of men, actually, it's everybody, people. I will make you fishers of men. Immediately, the brothers, that is, they left their nets and followed him. And that is what we call our text. That's a verse we're going to look at. Because we've looked at people that we listen to, but here is Jesus. And I find this most amazing. Don't you? Here is Jesus walking by the Sea of Galilee. Where is Galilee? Probably about northeast of Israel, just between the Golan Heights, around that region by Galilee. And here is this man, the Lord, walking by. And these men, they were doing that. This was their living. They were catching fish. They needed fish. They needed the money. And this stranger, seemingly at first, walked by and says, leave that. I want you to follow me. Okay, very quickly, we're going to look at three things on this verse. Number one, the personal plea. Number two, we see a personal promise in here. And number three, we see a prompt response. They're the three things we're going to look at as we dissect, have a close look at what this verse means for us this morning. And it really is important that we see these three important things from the verse. Okay, so the first one, it says what? Follow me. Now then, we've already said the men, they were at work. They were trying to make money, they're living. And this stranger, this Jesus walked by, called out at them, and he just said, follow me. And it was a personal plea. And what did they do? We know what they did because it tells us what happened next. And I just want to just hold on to it there for a moment. Why were these men so willing to follow Jesus? Because it says here, and if you, it doesn't, there's no argument, is there? Is there an argument? No. It just says, they followed. Now, look at the next verse. I find it even more extraordinary, if you're following, because we're going to put the next verse up that goes on. It's as if that's not enough. We're going to look at this other verse, because as you read on, it says, and going on from there, he saw two other brothers. I hope everybody's with me, because it's important that we all see this. Jesus, so first of all, he'd got the two men, yeah? Peter and his brother. And Jesus walked on, and going from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father. This time, there was three people this time. What were they doing? They were mending their nets, and he called them. Now, what is going on? Mending their nets, he called them. And then what happened? Did they listen? Did they go? Can anybody tell me what happened? The two brothers. Did they leave? They did. Thank you, Joanna. They did. They left immediately. And he said to them, verse 19, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. And the next bit, verse 20, immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, obviously that was the first bit, verse 21. The two brothers, James and John, the son of Zebedee and John his brother, verse 21, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. And he called them, immediately they left the boat. And who did they leave behind? The father. Extraordinary. Picture it. And I'm going deliberately slowly because I want us all to see the first point we saw, the two men left the empty boat. The next one, they got the dad this time. Jesus said, follow me. They even left the father to follow Jesus. Why am I dwelling so much on this following? Because Jesus is unique. Jesus is special. When Jesus calls, his call is irresistible. We must come. Because when Jesus calls, people respond. And we see here, it's a personal call because it says follow. It doesn't say follow somebody else. People love the big following on Instagram and whatever and the likes and all that. Bigger than Instagram. This is Jesus we're talking about. Follow who? Me. It's personal. That's why I call it a personal plea. Because Jesus said follow me. Are you following Jesus this morning? Or are you following other people? Other things? And it's important that we're clear as to who we're following. You know, we've seen film stars. We've seen fights at the Oscar. Sorry, I don't want to get political. You know, people fighting. All sorts of things. We've seen people following one minute and then they unfollow the next. We're not talking about Facebook and Instagram. We're talking about the Lord Jesus, the one who's worth following. Who are you following? So that's the first. We see this personal plea. But the thing is, if we really want to follow Jesus this morning, there's a condition. And wish we had time, but I'll just quote the verse. Matthew 16, verse 24. It says, if anyone would come after me, Jesus says, let him deny himself. Because the problem with you and me is self, 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 self. And if we want to follow Jesus, it's got to be Jesus that the important person. It's got to be Jesus that's the one we look to. And this is why we have it in our verse. Got to follow him. Not ourselves, not the film stars, not the pop idols, not all these people. They're here today and the next moment they're gone. Jesus is real. We can follow him even this morning. What a plea. But then the verse goes on, doesn't it? Still in that verse. Because we've got the personal plea. But then secondly, I want you to notice there's a promise. There's a promise. We're not good at keeping promises, some of us. What is the promise? I've got it there. I will make you fishers of men. Let's just pause until. What does that mean, fishers of men? Well, we said fishers of people. But the idea of fishers of men is Jesus will make them to be his followers, his disciples, so that they can go and tell other people, yes, about himself, about heaven, about God. Although Jesus himself, he's man and he's God. And we'll leave, you know, it's incredible, but he's God. Jesus is God and Jesus is man. We believe that. And it's important that we see that. But he wants his followers to be those who are willing to tell others about all the things that he does, the miracles, the healing, and also to be one day in heaven. And when we see, secondly, this personal promise, you and I, yeah, we make promises, don't we? But sadly, we sometimes fail, don't we? I know I have. But not so with the Lord Jesus. When he makes a promise, it's real. I will. And we're going to pause there again. I will. It's real. It's concrete. It won't change. Because it's God. You and I, we change with the weather, don't we? Oh dear, don't we? You know, the other Monday, the other week. In fact, I think I had a barbecue on a Monday. It's so hot. I thought, fantastic. You know, and a few days on, I was snowing. I wanted the fire on. I wanted to light the everything. You know, we change, and I was miserable because I was so cold. But praise God, we can trust in a God this morning that never changes. He's not depending on how we feel or whatever. And that's why we pray, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. So it's a personal promise. And you know, that personal promise is just as real for you today if you don't know Jesus. You can know him. You can trust in him. And the third thing, we said we're going to keep it straightforward, simple, straight in there. I hope you can follow it. But it's so important, this personal promise, that we all see it. And we see how important it is in this personal promise, that what Jesus says he will do. But the third thing we notice still in this verse is this. Is the prompt response. In all of it, what's the key word? We say prompt response. Can someone tell? What's the key word? Immediately. Thank you. There's no argument. Lord, you know, I can't do that today. Oh, you know, I'm too busy. Immediately. And you know, if when the Lord speaks to you, when we use a word called convict, meaning when you suddenly realize, you know, I'm guilty, I'm sinful, I've messed up. When the Lord speaks to you, you cannot but want to follow him. You cannot but want to go immediately. Why? Because you know you've messed up. And you've messed up and I've messed up. Immediately, they left their nets and followed him. And do you know what? To follow Jesus means leaving things behind. And some of the things that we leave behind is some of our past life, some of our sins, some of the things that we don't even want to talk about. We have to leave them behind. I said, Lord, I'm going to leave it behind now. Because what? I want to follow you. It's important that we see all this. Follow Jesus. Prompt response. I wonder, what will the response be for you and me today? In a world where we've got so many things being thrown at us, so many voices to listen to, there's only one voice that really counts. And it's the voice of God, the voice of the Lord Jesus. And you know, it comes and it convicts us and it tells us that we need to change. We cannot go on as we are. And it's important that we see, wherever we come from, whatever we've believed before, we, the Lord's voice, we need to see in all of this. So the prompt response. So, what else can we say as a way of summary? Well, Jesus is calling people today. Where from? Where from? All over the world. That's right. Black, white, pink, yellow, whatever. He's calling us. We must heed his voice. Don't ignore it. It's real. We're not going to a God of wood or stone or you know, some sort of inanimate. What's the word I'm looking for? Thank you. Object. Thank you. Loads of things come in your mind. Sometimes it goes blank. It's real. It's God. So he's calling people from all over the world. Following Jesus, secondly, means leaving the nets. What a way, Dalton, you put it. Leaving the nets behind. What do I mean by the nets? Your old ways, we could say. They're the nets. The thing that drags you back. The things that stop you from really wanting to put your faith and trust in the Lord. It can be our net, because they get in the way. Really do. And sometimes it can be hard and painful to even leave the nets behind. I put that up, yeah. The net of our lives, they get in the way. I think, Lord, we can't cope, you know. But we need to get them away. If we don't, they'll drag us back into our old ways. And our old thoughts. And sometimes some of our old ways can play in our minds like a video. Can't get rid of it. We need to pray, Lord, please help me to get rid of these things that stops me from following you. And you know, one of the biggest verse for me in the Old Testament, I'm not sure I've heard anyone preached on it, and it's almost too big for me. It's the next thing, the next verse I'm going to put up, because there's a call. There's a warning, and I love it. Jeremiah 22, verse 29. I put the Bible, you notice in brackets, always put the Bible, because I want everyone here to think what we're saying is from the Bible, not Dalton's words, otherwise we'll all go home, no point. God's word. But I love this verse. Actually, in the version you've got, it says, O land, O land, O land. I'm sorry, I prefer the authorized version on this one. Because it says here, O earth. It embraces everything still. Earth, earth, hear the word of the Lord. What a cry. What a cry. It's so big, isn't it? It's a message for everybody, for the whole world. Hear the word of the Lord. Not just for the people there in Jeremiah. For us today, we must take heed to God's word. We mustn't ignore God's word. You do it at your peril, honestly. It's real. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. And we're saying those same thing this morning. God wants us to hear his word. This is why we've got this amazing verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. Because containing this verse is all that we need to know, really, for knowing the Lord Jesus. Talks of God's love. What's it say? Can we all read it together after three? If you don't want to read, that's fine. If you, but it's helpful. After three. Three. For God. And that's, it's all summed up. What great love we can know this morning. It's wonderful. And what great gift that Jesus came. And what great life we can know that if we really mean business and we put our faith and trust in Jesus, the Bible talks of heaven. And it's real. Heaven is not a figment of our imagination. Heaven is a place and it's real. John 14, verse 6. I think it is. Jesus talked. Well, just for a moment. John 14. Sometimes it's not good just to quote scriptures. John 14. He talks. Yeah, verse 2. Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. Believe also in me. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be there also. Jesus has gone to prepare a place. And in this summary, we can say, people, what do I mean? There's no neutrality with God. You're either going to follow him or you're not going to follow him. It's not a matter, you know, well, I won't say I'm not a Christian and I won't say I am a Christian, I'll be in the middle. No, it doesn't work like that. No neutrality. You're either going to follow God, you're with him, or you're against him. Simple. Where are you this morning? We can't, as we use the modern phrase sometimes, sit on the fence. Nothing like that. It doesn't talk about sitting on the fence in the Bible. We're either for God or we're against him. May it be that you want to follow him. And Jesus, the next point I put, Jesus' call is the most important call in the world. We're back to those words again. Will you follow him? And there's an amazing verse, you know, in Mark 8:36, and we've got it up here. For what shall it profit a man? Anybody, not just men, the world, people. What shall it profit to gain the whole world, all the riches, everything that's in the world? But then you lose your own soul. Don't let money ruin your life. It's good to have money. We're not going to say it's not good. Don't let possessions, don't let your career ruin your life even, because you think my career, all that matters. No, all that matters is God, Jesus. Once you get your priorities right, putting Jesus first, everything else will fall into place. And I mean that. Oh, this morning, you'd be the one who'd be willing to say, Lord Jesus, I want to follow you. Remember the point. What was the point? First point, personal plea. Second point, personal promise. Third point, prompt response. Oh, may we be those willing to follow him. Well, we're going to sing our final hymn. And really, it's wonderful because we're onto the voice again. It says, have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading with your heart? He speaks not audibly, but he speaks to us because we hear his word. And it causes us to be moved and want to do something about it, having heard his word. We'll stand to sing, have you heard the voice of Jesus softly pleading? And can I say, students, for those of you who are being hosted, your homes for lunch, ask the people, ask them about some of these things we've talked about. Question them. And they may want to ask you questions as well, because this is part of it. We're not just have you here for lunch and you hear a word, but it's important that you take note of all these things. And ask questions over lunch. And don't forget the back table, the literature. And in fact, that's for everybody as well, in terms of the free literature. Thank you. Voice, and having heard the voice, having been spoken to in one sense as a result of hearing your word, we've been moved by perhaps what we've heard. Lord, we pray that we'll be willing to do something about it so that we get right with God before it's too late. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world to save sinful men and women, boys and girls. And we thank you, Lord, that you can save people today. If they suddenly come to the point, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to leave my past behind that's messed me up. Lord, we pray, please give me a new purpose in my life, a new direction. Lord, we ask that you'll do just that for any this morning who truly call upon the name of the Lord. Be with us now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.